Welcome to a brand new Zero Doinks. We have a special treat for you today. Exclusively heard here on Zero Doinks, here is a fresh tune inspired by Justin Fields and Axl Rose, created by Coach Cuse, Rick Fieldsman, and Bill Doinks. If you don't like our original music, I suggest you go for it about 4 minutes, but you'll be missing out. Here is the radio shortened version of Patience.
Shed a tear 'cause I'm needing you. Had a constant smile. Dude, I think about you every day now. Was a time when I wasn't sure, but you set my mind at ease. There is no doubt you're number one now. Said Justin, take it slow, it'll work itself out fine. All we need is just a little patience. Said Justin, make it slow, and we'll come together fine. All we need is just a little patience. Sit here on the bench 'cause they'd rather start at D. If I can't have you right now, I'll wait here. Sometimes I get so tense, but I can't speed up the time. But you know, Fields, there's one more thing to consider. Said Justin, take it slow, and things will be just fine. You and I'll just use a little patience. Said Justin, take the time, 'cause the lights are shining bright. Your right arm's got what it takes to make it. We won't forsake it. Oh, don't ever break it, 'cause I can't take it.
Yeah.
Wow, was that Axl Rose at the end? I think it might have been. Welcome to the newest and perhaps best Zero Doinks you've ever listened to. It's going to be red hot today. We have one new segment with a collegiate athlete. Yeah, that's amazing. Can't wait for that. We are going to help get a lot of you to a special event at the end of July. We're going to talk to the founders of the Hot 10. That is going to be red hot. Of course, we're going to be talking Bears. We're going to be talking Justin Fields. We're going to be talking all sorts of things tonight on Zero Doinks. Thanks.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zero Doinks. Zero Doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks. We are back. Things are red hot. It is mid-July. Bears camp is around the corner, and this might be our most explosive episode yet. Dan Doinks, you're in a garage. You look amazing. How does it smell? How do you smell? How are you?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks so much. I smell, I would say on a scale of 10, I smell like a 4 right now, and the garage is like a 6. So I smell worse than the garage for sure. I'm in the garage because I've been told I speak too loud when I do Zero Doinks. And if you're a Zero Doinks listener, you know that things go off the rails in terms of language and sexual content. So I've been asked to sit in the garage. Here I am, sweating my balls off. Thank you so much, though. I'm excited for tonight.
Tonight's going to be great. We have a new segment with a Illini football future star. That's going to be amazing. We have other special guests, too, promoting what might be the greatest charity event of the year and much, much more. But we're a Bears podcast. We talk 50% Bears at least every episode, and we are going to talk about our guy. He is risen. Justin Fields coming up next on Zero Doinks. Dan, good to see you again, buddy. Don't get eaten by a garage snake.
Thank you so much. Let's fucking do it, buddy.
13-4, Super Bowl City. Justin Fields is the man.
We have a real one? Do we have a real number one?
Fields is going to hoist it in the air again. He looks and cranks, sends it deep down the field for Wilson. Got it! Touchdown, Wilson! 42 yards from Justin Fields.
What's your comp for Justin Skyler Fields? Like, who does he remind you of?
Ooh, wow, good question. I mean, Jesus Christ is the first person that comes to mind.
Fields in trouble. Fields turning.
Please, Jesus, thank you for Justin Fields. Our Lord and Savior is possibly here. He is risen. He's here. He's Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ in football form. So
drafting Justin Fields is gold.
Justin, you stirred up some controversy when you got into it with some Alabama fans after the game and said, I'm going to the NFL. Y'all have fun marrying your cousins.
Justin Fields!
Welcome back. Zero Doinks. Justin Fields is gold. This is where we remind ourselves and our listeners that we have future NFL MVP Justin Fields as our guy, our quarterback, our QB1B. I love him. I still love him, Dan. I still can't believe he's a Chicago Bear.
No, I think about it still every day, all day, in my sleep. Have you, be honest with me right now, have you had any dreams about Justin Fields?
I have, yeah. He is they are not sensual in nature, but yes, I've had dreams of him. I feel like he's kicking ass in every dream I've had as a Chicago Bear against probably the Lions.
Yeah, that's fair. I have not had any actual dreams of that Justin Fields has been in yet, and I'm a little mad at myself about it. I'll just be honest. And I'm just going to go ahead and blame the ghosts in my house. They're just fucking with me in my sleep. They're keeping me from Justin thoughts while I'm out and about. But usually, you know, this part I have JF1 trivia. I don't this week. I absolutely do not. I got a lot going on. And I'm in a garage, so cut me some fucking slack here. So, but I did. Did you happen to see that he was working out with Justin Love? But then they maybe it depended on which source you were looking at. Some people just casually didn't mention the other person there, but some did. That Deshaun Watson was there. Were you concerned immediately that they were in the same space?
Yes, yes. But first of all, you said Justin Love.
Whoops,
who
Jordan
I assume,
Love.
I assume is Jordan's better quarterback playing brother, right?
Sorry. I'm not sorry. He should change his name because he wants to be like Justin Fields. So from now on, he's Justin Love. Can we just settle on that?
I'm fine with it. It's easier to remember, so I'm all about it. Yes, I did. I did see some of that same footage. Who's recording these, by the way? It was in looked like it was almost at the Walter Payton Center in Lake Forest. It wasn't, but strange. Get him away from Deshaun Watson, though, I guess is the point.
Big time, yeah. Get him away from Watson. Yeah, that guy's – I feel like your agent right now would be like, hey, could you just cool it on the working out with Deshaun Watson? That guy is on the hot seat big time. Just visually, just don't be near him. So, and especially if he's like, let's go grab a quick massage, you do not do that. Please, Justin. Justin and Justin. I'll do you a solid, Justin Love. Please also stay away because we want you to start this year for the Packers.
We do. We definitely do. Did you see, I think you did, because you were very snarky on Twitter with @ZeroDoinks, you saw Justin Fields wearing a White Sox hat while he was at a quarterback camp that he was part. Yeah, I don't know if he was a mentor or a coach as part of that camp. He had an awesome White Sox hat. He looks much better in a Sox hat than a Cubs hat.
I think there's literally nobody that agrees with you on that one. And I polled a lot of people, mostly in my house and other Cubs fans. So yeah, that's definitely not true. He just wore a Sox hat. You know, there's our local youth baseball league around here is actually run by the Sox, so every team is the Sox. Maybe he was just coaching a local Downers Grove baseball team, and he just had to wear a generic Sox hat. So I don't think that means anything. He hasn't actually been to a Sox game yet, right? Because who does that? So, no, I didn't read too much into it.
I did. I read everything into it, and we all know that he's really a White Sox fan, and it's going to become uncovered. It's going to be fantastic. He could probably play second base for the Sox right now, actually, and that's not really a joke.
But hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Please keep him away from the White Sox because we don't want him to get injured.
Call.
So please keep
great
him
call.
Away from that fucking team, okay? Please and thank you.
Yes, we're absolutely in agreement. Absolutely. One thing that I liked on Twitter this week was the debunking of Justin Fields as a one-read quarterback. And it's all based off of research that some guy I've never heard of did. But he put together this very complicated-looking chart that seemed to conclude that he was the best quarterback after his first read in the history of college football. So I'm buying it. I'm buying it. 100%.
Oh, you're in? Okay. I didn't actually see it. I want you to walk me through the chart in very slow and boring detail. No, I don't. I'll be honest. The Justin Fields highlights and stuff, I enjoy them, but I'm ready for the real thing now. I'm a little burned out on all of the talk about Fields is Ohio State quarterbacks, or they always suck. And I'm just done with the talk, and I just want to see it happen now. I will take the good, fun Justin stories and videos and all of that. But the well, I'm breaking down film from when he was at Ohio State. We're done with that. We've already fucking drafted him. So most of that is irrelevant at this point, right? So, but there's definitely a strong community of Twitter experts that want to just rehash throws and reads and all of that shit. Buddy, go get a girlfriend is what I'm going to say to those people. Or boyfriend, whatever works.
Yeah, doesn't matter. We're all the same when the lights are out, I think. I don't think that's totally true. One thing I did notice
is that actually your like, have you said that before in the bedroom with the lights go off?
Not that I recall, but you know, there's no cameras rolling as far as I know, so I can neither confirm nor deny. That's good, because I'm just going to move on with that. The one thing I noticed about Twitter over the weekend too is that 49er fans are very soft, and we'll get into Packers fans on Twitter being soft in the next segment where we'll have a little Bears chatter. But I suggested that Kyle Shanahan is an idiot for basically not drafting Justin Fields and having Trey Lance and Mac Jones ahead of Fields, and 49er fans are not happy with me. They basically are like, oh, cry more. Oh, yeah, cry more. It's like, no, you traded a lot of draft capital for a guy who hasn't played quarterback since 2019. I don't really care if he's good or not. I'm glad Justin Fields is a Bear. I don't really care. I just think Kyle Shanahan's an idiot. That's all. Shut up.
Yeah, but being real defensive like that just seems to suggest that they're also questioning the pick, right? Don't be so sensitive about it. You know, it's, you know, when people gave us shit about Mitch, we kind of just went, yeah, you're kind of right. You're kind of right. So, you know, I guess, I thought that was very strange at Shanahan just skipping right over Fields, that he is be one of the few people, and everyone's, you know, crowning him a fucking genius. So, I'm really ready for the 49ers to just fall apart. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it.
Yeah, they are absolutely going to be on Justin Fields' shit list. And I think we play them this year, right? Pretty sure. Not a big remember the schedule out of the division.
Not a clue. Definitely not a big schedule guy.
I'm going to say we play them and we host them, and it's probably between September and December. One
Keep
of those
talking.
Things
I'm going to look it up.
Possibly true. Dan's looking it up right now. In his garage, possibly with a garage snake.
No, I'm not looking it up.
Okay.
Got a bad internet connection here, Bill, so I'm not looking it up. You look it up on your own time.
That's fine. Grease tank, slide into our DMs. Anything else in Justin Fields' gold, Dan, or shall we move on with this unbelievable episode?
Let's move on, buddy. Justin Fields, I love you so, and you can raise me up on Justin's field. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Did you want to mention that you had some interaction, Zero Doinks had some interaction with his dad, right? On
That's
Twitter,
right.
Didn't he like a post that you had thrown his way?
He did. Pablo Fields, the aforementioned Pablo, either last episode or the one before where Dan found out a lot about him and his timeline about all of his talented children. Yes, Pablo did like something. I've been trying to get him a little more involved. We'll see. Possible future guest on Zero Doinks. He wears a leather jacket and rides a bike. So a motorcycle. That's what I mean.
Well, yeah, he can ride his bike right into my heart, and I'm pretty confident he'll be on Zero Doinks someday. So Pablo, come on, buddy. Come on. We're high tech here, big research guys, as you can tell, Pablo.
That's right. We're ready for you. Would love to talk about your son and the rest of your talented children and learn more about your bike gang. That'll be amazing. This has been Justin Fields' Gold. Coming up next, some more Bears chatter.
I don't know if the Bears play the 49ers. Still looking.
I'm blocked by Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs, even though he blocks us on Twitter, he's...
Don't say us.
Speaks?
Yes.
Right?
Blocked on Twitter by Brad.
I still maintain. Great beat reporter. Just
the best.
A little soft on Twitter.
Eddie Goldman skipped the off-season program. I do know that last summer I was told by some people after he opted out that they seriously questioned whether he'd ever return, and that's kind of cropped up again.
Eddie Goldman, he's a silent killer, man. Works its tail off.
I'm blocked by Brad Biggs.
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
How about you, Aaron Rodgers?
Hold up.
boing, 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 boing.
On Halloween, so we got that straightened out at break, so good job on us. All right, we're going to do a little bit of Bears chitter chatter, Bears chitter chatter, Bears chitter chatter. Is that what we're calling it these days? I think so.
Sure.
Bill, what do we want to talk about first? We want to talk about Eddie Goldman here. What do you got for me?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah. I mean, we led into the segment with some red-hot audio from 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is trying to scare the pants off of all of us Bears fans saying, oh, I talked to a bunch of people and there's, you know, the possibility that Eddie Goldman might be retiring. Well, the funny thing is, after he had his appearance on Mullion, immediately there was a report the next day that Eddie Goldman was actually in the Chicagoland area working out, working his ass off. So, Biggs, get some new sources. I know it doesn't mean anything. He could have just been working out in non-football capacity, but it looked like he was lifting a lot of weights. That there's no reason to do that unless you're a football player, right, Dan? He's coming back.
Do they still do the terrible intro song? Big Brad Biggs is coming to town. Big Brad Biggs, he's a big fat bitch. Do they still do that intro song? It's horrible. I fucking hate it. But I hate listening to it. Like I kind of wish it was I wish that was my alarm in the morning on my phone. I got to look that up. All right, Eddie Goldman. Why are there so many videos of him working out? Is there something I'm supposed to be reading into that? Like, I don't really – what's wrong with Eddie Goldman?
I don't think anything is. I think people are just like, he hasn't played since the last game in the 2019 season, and Biggs is making us just absolutely sweat for maybe no reason. So – I don't know. Are you a big, I'm going to take selfies of myself when I work out guy?
Oh, all the time. Yeah, big time. When I'm lightly doing a fast walk around the Yorktown Mall, I'm definitely taking a video of that. Or I have a stranger take a video of that. I literally don't know what to do with it. It seems like there's a new Eddie Goldman's lifting weights video on Twitter every day, and I'm like, Eddie, just tell me what I'm supposed to do with this. I mean, are you playing or you're not? I don't care at this point. Like, get Brad Biggs out of my face talking about you. Just tell me what you're doing. Was he want a contract? I legitimately have no idea what his problem is. He looks like he's in good shape, I guess. I don't fucking know, but stop with the videos, man. That's just weird.
Yeah, I'm not nervous about it. Brad Biggs is never right. He's never broken news ever, so fuck that guy. Camp is starting soon. They announced camp dates. I think it's July 29th where they start, and I think it's all at Hallis Hall, right? No more Bear Binet. There are tickets available if you register on their website. I've registered because I think we need to represent. We're not really media, so I'm not going to apply for a pass. I know Rick Fieldsman asked about that. That would be great.
Weird. That would be great. Well, we'd certainly have problems with that big bitch Brad Biggs. The only thing he breaks is wind. If we had a media pass, we'd be throwing hands with that fat fuck. I'm sorry, Brad. I love you. Unblock me on Twitter. Yeah, camp starting. So do you think you'll go if you get tickets?
Yeah.
And are you registering for like a particular day, or is it just like just put your name in a hat and they're like, oh, you have Tuesday morning? How's it work?
It has every day that's available to fans that it is on the website. You can register your name up to 4 tickets for any of those days. So I picked days that appeared to have availability for my life. So hopefully it matches with yours and Coach Cuse's and Rick Fieldsman's, if in fact I get 4 tickets to any of these days. I would go. I'd love to see Justin Fields whip the pigskin around.
And from my understanding, you have to drive to a mall and park, and then you get on a bus to Hallis Hall. Is that correct?
I've seen that, yeah. That, I don't know if there's like a limited amount of spots that they're saving at Hallis Hall, but yeah, I think...
This
it sounds messy, right?
This sounds like getting you ready for Bears and fucking Arlington Heights, I can tell you that much. Which I need to throw a quick apology out to my friend Ryan, who lives in Arlington Heights. I think he was a little upset that I specifically said that Arlington Heights can eat my ass. I don't actually mean that. I was angry, I'll admit it. I was a little heated. I don't have a problem with Arlington Heights. I'm just not there yet, guys. So to you, Ryan, specifically, I apologize. That was a bit far. I don't want Arlington Heights to eat my ass yet.
That's fair. Ryan, you know, Dan's a good guy. You know his heart. I'm sure, you know, it meant nothing personal by it. He's just upset because the one time he went to bet ponies with me there, he had to take a piss and he got caught in traffic, and it stuck with him this entire time.
I wish I could say that was untrue, but it is very much true. God damn it. Just get your traffic figured out once for me, Arlington Heights. But do not eat my ass. I love you, Arlington Heights. You're my favorite place on earth. What else we got, Bill?
A-Rob, I think there's a deadline coming up to where the Bears need to extend him. Otherwise, they can't talk contract with him until after the season again. He's not signing, is he? There's no chance.
I don't think so. There's also, you know, we're for way too much in the weeds in Twitter, the Twitter world. There seems to be some optimism amongst fans that he's going to sign an extension before Thursday. What will have changed since last time this happened? Bears don't even have any money to give him, right?
Right.
I mean, unless they're going to pay him like $100,000 this year, and then they'll pay him real money when he's in his mid-50s, the old Bobby Bonilla trick. I don't know how that works, but I don't see it. I would like for him to sign an extension, but no, I don't think so, guys.
Yeah, no, I think we should all be prepared for the continued lack of certainty with A-Rob. I think a lot of us in the back of our minds are thinking, you know, yeah, just this year he's going to feel so good actually having a quarterback with accuracy, and I'm not talking about Andy Dalton, and they're going to be like, yeah, of course, he'll sign for a hometown discount after the year just to play with Fields, right? He's not going to do that. He's so pissed at Pace, and yeah, he's... If they don't get it done by Thursday, I've already mentally placed him on another team in 2022.
Same. I don't even blame him. Get your money, man. The Bears fucked. They dicked around with you for a while, and he did a lot to carry that offense with some very bad quarterback play. So, yeah. Go make that bread, A-Rod.
That's right.
Make get that bread. No, wait, you don't make the bread. You get the bread or do you make it? We've had this discussion before, haven't we?
We have.
Old suburban guy talk here.
It is. It absolutely is. Speaking of which, that is one hell of a rake behind you in the garage there. But that's one of those wet leaves or dry leave situations, right? You just pull it up and pull that extra piece of plastic up and down.
Yeah, it really captures a lot of leaves, and I'm very proud of it. That's why it's pretty much the only thing that's not just laying on the floor in here. But yeah, if anyone needs to borrow a rake, just slide into my DMs at GopherBones. Just do it, and I'll give you a fucking rake.
There also appears to be, and this may just be a figment of my imagination, there appear to be a lot of flies, like, up and around your head. Is that true? Are there insects in your garage? You look a bit warm, though, for sure.
I'm very warm. Like, and now I'm running about a 3 out of a 10 in terms of smell. So the flies, I don't see them. I'm also battling a cold right now, so I can't smell myself, which is a delight. But you know, Bill, I'm doing what I can here. I'm doing what I can. I'm just grinding, baby. I'm making and getting that bread right now.
You are. You absolutely are. I can smell the yeast from here. Can we talk about Packers fans on Twitter for a minute again? Getting stuck in the weeds, like you said. I don't know if it was a mistake, but I made the decision on Saturday night, I believe, after a number of beverages, scrolling my timeline at Zero Doinks on Twitter, follow us, And I saw somebody retweeted, what's his name? Savage, the safety for the Packers, whatever the fuck his first name is. Who cares?
Randy.
And thank you. Rest in peace. And he...
Wait, so is Randy Savage? Like, wait. Hold on a second. It's Randy... Who's the Wonder Years guy?
Oh, no, is that Macho Man? Is it Macho Man Randy
Oh,
Savage?
Yeah. Who am I thinking of? Who's the Wonder Years guy? Is his name Savage? Did I make that up?
I don't think so. Wait, Ben Savage? No. What is that guy's name? I can't think of it. Fred Savage.
There we go. Thank you. That's what I meant. Randy was also right. Go, Bill. I apologize.
You're good. So anyway, Darnell Savage or whatever the hell his name is, he had a very innocent tweet like, I'm really looking forward to the 2021 season or something. And I replied, because I'm like, I think there's a GIF out here that I can send. And it was Darnell Mooney catching a poorly thrown ball by Mitch, and Savage totally mistimed it. Of course, Mooney fell down because the pass was so bad. It should have been a touchdown, but that's on Mitch. And I think it said, Mooney owns you, Savage, or something, the GIF, right? So that was my reply. Holy shit, Packers fans went after me so hard. It was unbelievable. And a lot of them were like, "Ooh, maybe don't get swept the past 2 years." And I was thinking, do you guys realize that Mitch is no longer a quarterback? But I'm like, I didn't really get in the weeds that much. But somebody went the route of, the problem was somebody that we follow and he follows us. He's a Packers blogger. He's actually a good guy. But he was real defensive out of the gate. Like, oh, this is one pass. Why didn't you talk about the two interceptions he had? And I was like, those were against Mitch. They don't count. And then his reply after is like, I'm sorry, man, because everybody was replying off of his stuff, and he saw Zero Doinks. I felt like, I texted you offline, I felt like Jon Snow fighting off all the White Walkers. They're just flying at me left and right. Oh, Justin Fields, he went to Ohio State. He's going to suck. I'm sure that won't backfire at all. The Bears suck at this and that. It's like, God damn it, Packers fans, don't take it so seriously. So the conclusion that I had was, I guess maybe don't slide into Packers players' DMs if you can't take the heat, but also a lot of fanboys for Savage, real defensive Packers fans. They're nervous, just like the 49ers fans we're talking about. That just shows me fans around the league, they can't ignore the Bears anymore, baby. You're nervous about Justin Fields.
Let me first by saying I apologize for not jumping in to help you in that fight on Saturday night. I was also very drunk, so text messages looked like they were in another language Saturday night, so I apologize for that. Bad teammate, that's me, that's on me. Yeah, you're right. I think Packers fans are just very sensitive these days. They're in a very sensitive spot. Ooh, is Aaron gonna stay? Ooh, please hold me, guten kunst, whatever your name is. Yeah, no, I think I was gonna ask you how they found how Packers fans came at you, but it's through the mutual Packer blogger friend. Now that makes sense. I just imagined like someone sitting in like the North Woods of Wisconsin in their log cabin house, just doing a search on Savage on Twitter, seeing who's saying mean things about him and them just attacking you that way. So that's that's a better mental image in my mind. But You hit it right on the head. Can't ignore the Bears anymore. People are really sensitive. They're real defensive these days. So good on you, Bill. Good on you.
Yeah, it was a social experiment as far as I'm concerned. That's what that was. And I'm still getting replies today from sour Packers fans like, you're pathetic. Like, I'm not even responding to you. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. So anyway, I guess I won't be sliding into Packers players' DMs anymore because I was exhausted fighting it off. You know what? And you did not come to my defense, and that's okay. No Bears fan did, actually. So that's where I'm a little hurt. Like, I felt alone.
I think you already won the argument, so nobody felt like they needed to jump in. There was nothing else to be said. Once you start getting real sensitive Packers fans, you know you've already lost that argument. So... fuck you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite things this offseason is all the Darnell Mooney is your dad, like to Jalen Ramsey and other. It kills me because other teams' fans do get really pissed off. It's like, come on, like we're Bears fans just absolutely having a joke here. Like,
oh,
we're
just
not serious. Yeah.
How do you guys not know we're trolling you? It's Mooney. Like, can't you just take a fucking joke? And Jalen Ramsey gets in the mix and he's also sensitive. It's like, are you fucking serious? It's Mooney. I mean, he was, when did we even draft him? Was he like a fifth round draft pick or something? Like,
yeah.
Just relax, everyone. I mean, this is why. This is also like the people, the Bears fans breaking out Justin Fields' Ohio State game tape. Like, we just need the season to get started. This is all getting very exhausting.
It is exhausting. Just like the Aaron Rodgers stuff. I loved how noncommittal he was at the that celebrity match that he did on, that I didn't watch. I don't know if you watched it at all, but
no.
Yeah, there's audio either at the beginning of the segment or after the segment of him being asked about, you know, when are you going to be the quarterback when the Packers play the Bears this year? And he's sort of like, I don't know. I think how high has he been every day this offseason? He looks like he's very high.
He does look like he's kind of a mess. Where are we at with that? I still think he's going to start week one. The same for you?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to sit out. That's really his only option at this point, just to prove a point. I don't see that.
Yeah, he just retire? I mean, I don't know. He seems like he's loving life right now. So, yeah. I mean, I think he should play professional golf forever.
Yeah, I think so. Whatever makes you happy, Aaron, as long as it's not beating our Bears. I feel like he has not picked up a football in the offseason, though. That does make me feel good. I feel like he's going to be – I'm surprised he's not really fat, actually. That's disappointing.
He's got a Hollywood wife or girlfriend or whatever they – you know, they. I don't think they eat. They eat vegan or some shit like that. I don't know. Fuck him. Fuck the Packers. Go Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, that's enough Packers talk. Go Bears. Coming up next, we have a brand new segment. You're going to love it. It's a new friend of Zero Doinks. Enjoy. Thank you, Dan. This has been a lovely segment, Bears Chatter.
Keep working out, Eddie Goldman.
Huey.
Say, throw another shrimp on the barbie.
Oh, that's an Australian saying.
Throw another shrimp on the barbie. Crikey.
Huey's mayo.
I really wanted an Australian.
Huey's mayo and eggs.
G'day.
Oh.
Hey.
Huey's Mayo and Eggs, starring Hugh Robertson.
Are you thinking of Australia?
Yeah, that's Australian. Australian.
Australians, all let us rejoice, for we are young and free.
The angry eagle says, get the green flag, skin head, skin head, red bottle, never bottle, fight, fight, win, win, shot, get a sight.
Huey's Mayo and Eggs, featuring Hugh Robertson, punter, University of Illinois.
Welcome back to Zero Doinks. This is our brand new segment called Huey's Mayo and Eggs, starring Hugh Robertson, who is a punter for my alma mater, the University of Illinois, and we are thrilled to have you, Hugh. Welcome to Zero Doinks, man.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me. A pleasure to be a part of it.
Of course. Yeah, as the audience, you know, our audience is very smart, but I'm sure they even noticed that you don't exactly sound like a Midwesterner. You are from Australia. You helped inspire the name of this segment. Can you explain what mayo means to an Australian?
So mayo is a sort of a term that basically my friends and the broader Melbourne community, I imagine, are the creators of it. But mayonnaise is something you put on a story. Not that I do that much. mayonnaise is something you put on a story to beef it up a little bit. The idea of never let the truth get in the way of a good story. It was a last minute top. Just talking to one of my mates about what should I name my sort of segment, and we were throwing names towards each other. And I said, "Huey's mayo, just roll off the tongue, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay, let's just do that."
Do you eat actual mayonnaise? Is there any actual mayonnaise involved with Hugh's lifestyle?
Not a great deal, to be honest. It's just more. It's the mayo is more used as a. If someone's telling a story and you suspect, oh, okay, there's a bit to this. Like, I don't think this has actually happened. That means there's a bit of mayo on that. There's a bit of mayo on that for sure. So you call them out for that.
I love it.
No, it's good. It's good. Yeah, we figured we want to get an explanation of that, because I'm sure people are like, you know, I mean, they're used to us throwing eggs at the end of all of our segments for no apparent reason. But mayo, that was new. That was a new one. You came to the University of Illinois. You are a redshirt freshman, I think, technically, right, in terms of football terms. And so how'd you land at the University of Illinois of all schools?
Well, it's quite a long story, actually. I'll try to do the short-ish part of it. But I think it's a redshirt freshman. I think I'm a redshirt freshman. All these terminology of freshman, sophomore, and all that sort of stuff is fairly new to me. Back home in Australia, sort of, we don't call them freshmen, or you just, how many years of university have you done? 2, 3, 4, finished, doing a graduate degree. It's sort of, those terms aren't used back home. So how I got into it was... fairly interesting story. I've traveled a lot in my life. I'd been to America. I did a road trip with my best friend. We drove from LA to New York over 2 months. Fell in love with the place. Fell in love with America. Was talking to one of my friends when I was back home playing Australian rules football. I was talking to one of my friends at practice one time. We call it training, but at practice. And we're kicking the ball to each other, which is part of the sport. And I was just talking about my trip, and he's like, "Oh, you like America so much? Have you ever heard about Pro Kick Australia?" So I said, "No." So he sort of recommended that I send an email or get in contact with this company that they basically. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Pro Kick Australia before.
No, I've not.
So. I'd say 99% of the punters from Australia over here. There's 5 NFL punters and about 150 scholarships that have been awarded to Pro Kick graduates to American colleges. They've all come from that program. It's run by Nathan Chapman and John Smith, and they do an absolutely excellent job of just preparing Australian rules footballers and also rugby players, which is a different sport, and they prepare them for punting, teach them how to do it and the technique to become more consistent, because we basically grow up with the hand-eye coordination and the power to be able to kick the ball a fair way, but the consistency sort of is something you learn by practicing it more. So yeah, I sent them an email. Didn't hear back from them for about 3 months. At the time, I was working as a police officer in Australia. So I'd been doing that for about 8 years. And wasn't exactly... I was enjoying my job, but I was always thinking in the back of my head, what else could I do outside? Like, I've always wanted to... I love adventures, so this was, for me, it was a huge adventure. I wasn't really thinking that at the time. It was one of those moments where you just send an email and see what happens, but sort of forgot about it after 3 months. I don't think they checked their inboxes that much. They're not known for their organisation, Johnny and Chappie down at Pro Kick Australia, to be honest. I hope they're not listening to this. I'll still send them the podcast. But yeah, 3 months later, I said, come down, and I happened to have the day off work on a Sunday in, I think it would have been January, March of 2019. Went down on a Saturday morning about 6 a.m. It was pretty like dewy, so pretty wet out. Had no idea what I was getting myself in for. I'd I'd picked up a, I'd thrown around American football before at a barbecue once when I was 20 or something. This is, what, 7 years later. Had my hands on a American football for the first time in about 7 years. Never kicked an American football before. And then I was getting balls thrown at me, snaps basically, from Chappie. And then started kicking them. Wasn't ideal. Like, there was a lot of shanks in there. There was plenty of shanks in there, but there was a couple of half-decent ones, I suppose. And as soon as the session ended, they basically said, we want you to do the program. So that was a hard decision. I told my dad about it, and he basically thought it was a hoax, the whole program and everything, and didn't want me to do it and didn't know what the sport was. He still doesn't. He still asks me, when do you come back to play Australian football? Which is quite funny. He's not interested in learning the sport and the rules at all. I'm trying to encourage him. He'll get there eventually. But yeah, went down there, tried out, and then had to basically tell my my coach and my team that I was playing for that I was interested in doing this, which led to me not leaving but delaying starting the Pro Kick Australia program for about 6 months until the end of the regular football season that I was playing in. We managed to win the whole premiership at the end of the thing, so it was my first ever Australian football premiership, which is like a premiership's like a final, so you win the finals, you're the champions of the league.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, it was an awesome day. It was pretty tough by the end of it. My whole, like, because in a game of Australian football, you probably run 10 miles in a game, so by the end of it, my body was pretty stuffed, and it was obviously a very intense game, and it was a relief to hear the final siren go and win. But then we had a celebration for about 3 days, which involved a few beers. I'll say it was. I closed the book on football, and then onto the next adventure. So started training 4 days a week, like punting 4 days a week, and then training in the gym every other day. Some days I'd do both, and I was pretty dedicated. Hadn't touched a book since high school, which was, I was 27 at the time as well. So like in 2019, I was 26. So hadn't touched a book in about like a, hadn't touched math in about, eight or 9 years. So that was, had to study for the SAT. So I sat and locked myself in my room, moved back in with dad, to sort of save a bit of money because I knew I was doing this. I was living in another house and moved in with dad and started studying for the SAT, which is a nightmare. Like, at times I was just thinking, I don't think I can do this. Like, this is going to be really hard, and just like kept at it and eventually passed it. So passed the SAT, got the score that I needed, and then so I started training in October, and then in there was very like early mornings, traveling about 2.5 hours to get to practice. And then in March, just before the coronavirus lockdown, I got offered by Illinois. So obviously everything that happened on the way there was all new news to me. I'd been doing a lot of research. I'd never actually seen a game of American football before, which was unbelievable. I still haven't gone to an NFL game. I've been to obviously a college game before, by playing in it, or not, yeah, by being there on the sidelines. And apart from one punt against Penn State, but yeah, so got offered the scholarship and accepted it straight away. So how it sort of works with Pro Kick, we don't really get a choice of where you go. So Johnny and Chappie, they like to try and match you to a particular school. So they basically thought that Illinois would be a great fit for me. And I was like all for it. It was all going to be new to me. So to be honest, I was sort of open to going wherever. I didn't know much about football, didn't know much about Illinois at all, never been to Illinois. So I accepted it straight away. Just thought, stuff it. Like, here we go. This is what life's about. having fun and going on an adventure. So yeah, did it, and here I am a year later. So moved over during the coronavirus pandemic, which was an ordeal. Did about 50 days of quarantine in order to get my visa, and come to America. And then was straight to fall camp.
Now, can I ask you a question, Hugh? Of course you can. When you landed in, when you arrived in Champaign, Illinois, did you think they were, it was a sick joke that they had placed you in the middle of fucking cornfields and right smack dab in the middle of America? I mean, they could have tried to place it like USC or Miami, but nope.
Yeah.
Champaign, Illinois. Did you think it was a cruel trick?
How dare you, Dan?
And it's purely a geographical thing. I'm not shitting on Illinois. It was purely a geographic, because a guy from Australia gets dropped into Champaign, Illinois, I'd imagine it's a little bit of a culture shock.
Oh, definitely. I think anywhere it was going to be a culture shock. Being outside your comfort of home, where everyone's got the same accent as you, the same culture, the same slang and all that sort of stuff. That was definitely tough to get used to. But I mean, Illinois in itself, like, I got on a bus at O'Hare Airport. I was meant to be quarantined. I got on the bus with 50 other people going down to Champaign. Made friends with, I think his name was Nick, a guy on the bus with me. He does engineering here at Illinois, and just started making friends with him, and then went and got Chipotle together. I was just driving down there, and it was summer at the time, so there was corn everywhere, and I was like, yep, this is definitely happening. I felt like I was on another backpacking sort of trip with my best friend.
So do you know, for those who don't know, Hugh is in the same punting room as Blake Hayes, who is a senior, who is a borderline All-American punter, who is also from Australia. Did you know Blake going into this, or were you fast friends because you had a common interest or a couple common interests, or how'd that work out?
Well, I like that you just assume they're friends. Maybe they're enemies because they're both the Australian guys on the team.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Like Blake, I met Blake once when I was at Pro Kick. He came down for a session. This is before I knew anything about Illinois or the fact that I was going there. So we chatted a lot, and I sort of, like, he was really excited for me to get there and show me around and all that sort of stuff. I mean, Blake was an awesome support. It was very handy having him on the team, basically being another Australian that sort of helped with any homesickness that might have happened and all that sort of stuff. But
so I think he, if I recall correctly, he had a similar, where he hadn't played American football before, and he had, I think it was like all Big Ten freshman team right out of the gate. So have you been able to relate to that experience in terms of, you know, like you said, you touched American football for only like the second time when you were trying out essentially to play Division I college football. So has that, you know, has he been a mentor of sorts to you? Are you the next Blake Hayes, I guess, is what our audience wants to know.
Oh, that's putting a lot of pressure on me, because Blake's a very, very, very good punter. And I think he will be one of the highest draft picks to go. The highest punter, I think, to go. He's just an exceptional athlete and exceptional punter, and just works his butt off. Like, he works so hard. And it's really good having him in front of me, because he's like such a hard worker and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, having him there was great support, although being behind him, it sort of made me have to wait so long for the opportunity to actually go out and do your craft. Like, you work on your craft the whole time and you want to perform it, and then waiting behind the whole time, it's definitely tough. And I was sort of like, this is like, it's all you do is practice, you practice, you practice, which one day I'll get my opportunity, I hope, and it'll all be worth it. But having him there is great support. Like, he's unbelievable with teaching me how to, the rules and what he looks for, and just having his guidance is I wouldn't ask for it any other way, to be honest.
When you were going through the program, was it purely a punting program, or would they try to decide, could you be a place kicker as well? What's the drill? Be like, I'm going to be a punter, because that's kind of the natural. You're doing that with Australian football. What do you call it? Australian League football. I'm slaughtering it. I sound like a dumb Midwesterner right now. But it's sort of like that's sort of a part of the game, right? Is punting to your. I only know this because during the pandemic, when American sports were shut down, we may have watched a handful of games that I still don't understand the rules. But that's sort of just a natural thing for punters, right? Did you ever think I could also be a place kicker?
I think a lot of place kickers come from, like, obviously we come from a background of football where we kick it out of our hands. So we will pass the ball with out of our hands to a teammate, and like that might be 50 yards, it might be 15 yards, it'll be a range of different distances. But just that high hand-eye coordination from being a child, practicing that, it just translates so well to punting. But I think place kicking is it's more sort of similar, I'd say, to like soccer, just because the ball on the ground, I think it just really translates well. So there's a lot of soccer players that become place kickers just by, I don't know, high school, they play soccer and they kick for the football team because they know how to kick a ball and hit it sweetly most times. So, I mean, there's always potential that I could practice the movements well. Most of us will have the power to be able to kick the ball and the hand-eye coordination to kick the ball, but there's definitely a lot of differences in punting to kicking. That's obviously goes without saying, really.
Well, and you certainly come from an athletic background. We'll get into that in a sec. But I think now you have a new coaching staff here for your second year at Illinois. I think you should maybe talk to Coach Bielema and say, hey, have you ever thought about going with the two-punter strategy, both you and Hayes on the field at the same time? Just fool the hell out of the Big Ten and just let's get weird. I'm sure Bielema would be up for it.
Oh yeah, I love getting weird. It'd be hard to convince them to do that, I think. For however long punting's been a thing, I don't think there's ever been two punters on the field at the same time. This year might be the year, but we'll see. I've been trying to get into my coach now, Coach Miller. He's a tight ends coach as well. Been trying to get into his ear and maybe getting a couple of reps at tight end, but I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go, to be honest. It's all a bit of a joke.
No, that makes sense. Well, and as I alluded to, we need to know more about this stuff. So this was in an article when you signed with Illinois. So we got to see what's true, what's not. What I saw was you were an Australian junior high Australian junior high jump record holder when you were a kid, right? You were in, I don't know if you won, but you were at least in the 2008 Australian slam dunk contest. That's amazing. And also I saw something that you were the 2010 Australian kangaroo racing contest winner. Are any of those true or false? It's amazing. We need more information here.
They're all exceptional results, and I'm not going to lie, there is definitely a lot of mayo on those those accolades. I think the high jump was Little Athletics, which is like track and field when I was probably, I don't know how old I said I was, but there's definitely a lot of mayo. I had a little bit of fun with the media team with that. And then I saw the next day that it was in an article. I was like, oh, this has got a bit taken a bit too far. A bit further than I thought. So I spoke to the media team. Like, oh, maybe we'll just take those off. Didn't think they'd be written in permanent ink, but there we go. It definitely happened. But yeah, it was at high school. We'd play basketball at lunchtime. And we'd always have these dunk contests. But that was about it. I can't even, seriously, I'm 28 years old now, so I can't even get up to the ring.
That's awesome. But, well, what about the kangaroo? Was that full of mayo also?
Oh, that was a whole tub of mayo on that. that was a Walmart buy in bulk sort of set up there, like Costco, Sam's Club, or whatever you want there. That's a lot of mayo on that one.
Awesome.
Plenty of kangaroos around, but we don't race them around. That's for sure.
Do you fight them though? I see some videos of people like taking a swing at a kangaroo. Is that something you'd want to do?
No, kangaroos they're quite scary, like scared animals. So if like you're around them, they'll run away fairly quickly. So that was like I've seen a video of that. I think the video you're referring to is the kangaroo's attacking someone's dog.
Bingo.
Or whatever, and then the owner punches the kangaroo, and the kangaroo just runs off.
Yep, it was that's true.
An absolutely absurd video, but that's what Americans all see, and they loved it.
triggered something in my mind. I'm going off track a little bit. You're talking about basketball. Is Luke Longley a legend in Australia as much as he is here?
Luke who?
Luke Longley. Ex-Bulls center. I'm going to feel like a horse's ass. Whoa. He's Australian, isn't he, Bill?
He is. He's an
Australian. Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. If he was from New Zealand, I was going to feel like a horse's ass, but I was pretty positive it was Australia.
Hey, the Kiwis are all right. The Kiwis aren't that bad. I'm not going to lie to you, Dan. Like, I don't know too much about basketball, so I'm learning. I know the current players, obviously your Ben Simmons, your Patty Mills, and Andrew Bogut, who I don't think he's playing anymore. Forgive me, I don't know any other players that are playing over here at the moment. Matthew Dellavedova.
Oh man, the fact that you know Dellavedova and not Luke Longley just makes me feel real old. I'll be honest. Luke Longley was on three championship teams with the Bulls with Michael Jordan, and
oh wow,
he was
okay.
A big part of why they won those titles. Yeah, love Luke Longley. I don't know where he's at. Hopefully, he's not dead.
I definitely hope he's not dead. Was he in The Last Dance at all? Did they give him any screen time in that?
I thought I saw his curly hair a little bit, but yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. But I don't think he was interviewed. But good guy. I'd let him sleep with my wife.
Jeez, you must love him then.
Dan's a huge Bulls fan, as you can tell. Well, all right. So going back to Australia, it's a tough segue. So you mentioned you're 28 years old, which is awesome, by the way. Like that is, I'm sure you're aware, not exactly a young college football player in NCAA parlance. Anyway, is that a was that kind of weird? Was that expected? Did you know that your locker room was going to be filled with like 18 to 22 year olds, or was that a surprise when you went onto campus?
I think, when I got to campus, before I got to campus, I sort of thought, oh yeah, like I've been at boarding school, I've been in football teams before with younger guys in there, but it was definitely like it was a shock, like coming there, and I mean now it's like. I mean, there's all the occasional dad jokes and all that sort of stuff, and I love all those. Sometimes feel a little bit old when the injuries start coming out and all the, oh, it's because you're getting old, it's because you're getting older. You're like, yeah, okay, righto. Everyone gets injuries. but yeah, I was initially going to, I grew up in, I went to boarding school at high school, so for me, living with a group of people, I was 18 at the time, living with a group of people is absolutely fine. So, initially, I was sort of okay to stay in the dorms. I'm so glad I did not stay in the dorms now. I think when I got here, I was like, yeah, nah, probably a good move that I didn't stay in a dorm. Got myself an apartment, which was, definitely the better move.
Nice. If any of the freshmen try to get you to buy them beer?
Not yet, actually. Beer seems to not really be hard to come by. Everyone always seems to be able to access it no matter what age they are. But I shouldn't be saying that, but it's true.
Along the same lines, does everyone just assume you drink Foster's? And does Foster's actually exist in Australia?
Oh, it exists, but it's more of a, I think they market it to England and America more than, we drink our, we'll drink your Victoria Bitter or your Virus Beaters, otherwise known as VB, and there's like Carlton Draft and all that sort of stuff, so yeah, definitely Foster's is, I've had a Foster's once, I reckon, in my life, but yeah, not a regular beer that we drink in Australia, that's for sure.
You mentioned, so we talked a little bit about Aussie football rules, I completely buffaloed that as well. Dan and I are we don't remember much from last March. That feels like a lifetime ago when we were starting to look at Aussie professional football. Can you explain why there's like, how many poles? There's like four poles, three poles, and then there's like a ref in the middle who gets really aggressive, like, when
finger
you
guns.
Get like the six
like
pointer.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. A lot of finger guns.
Yeah. What? It's pretty cool.
I mean, that looks like a great job. Are they supposed to be that energetic? Are they doing that for TV? Like, I want that job, first of all. But what can you explain how any of that works?
So, yeah, four posts at each end. I always get this question whenever I'm out having a drink or two, and someone asks me, like, my background, lots of stuff, Australian rules, and I have to try and explain it. It's the hardest sport to explain that someone's never seen it before. But I basically start off by going mixture of basketball, soccer, rugby, American football. It's just like it's easier to watch it to learn it than try and get me to explain it. That's for sure. But the refs, they have the refs that are in the goals. They have an excellent job, and I don't know any refs, so I might be completely wrong with saying this. It's all professional. Like the harder, the more aggressive, the more intent you look. And the more like confidence you have with your decision, that wins you the job. That wins you the job. So if they know it's a goal, they're going to make sure they're confident in that. And the two ones like that, that's 6 points. And then if it misses the two middle posts and goes in between the two posts on either side, it's like a behind. So they'll signal that, and then just one, which is 1 point. And obviously if it hits the post, as well, that's 1 point. When you get it through, it's the big 6 points, which everyone loves to go.
I'm thinking back now to watching those games, and it was real late at night, and I'm watching it with Bill here and a few other guys, and we were so drunk. You said you'd only know it if you watched it. I've definitely watched it, and I don't recall much of it except for the finger guns. That's literally all I remember. And a lot of running and just random punting of the ball. That's it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to it. I'd love to take you to a game one day down in Australia. That'd be that awesome experience for you, especially at the MCG, the Melbourne Cricket Ground, which is like where the home of AFL. That's where all the grand finals are played, and it's 100,000 people. It's absolutely wild. It's an awesome game to go to, and there's so much scoring that there's always excitement there. But yeah, it's just like it's the game I've grown up with, so naturally I'm gonna like it a lot more than any other sport, unfortunately.
who's your team, Hugh? Who should we root for? We're free agents in terms of latching onto a team. Whoever you like, so, we like.
Well, Blake and I go for. I've supported the Essendon Bombers.
Love it.
Since I was a kid, and Blake's best friend actually is one of the captains of the team. So Blake Hayes, his best friend, is actually one of the captains of the team. So that's how he got involved supporting them as well. When his friend got drafted to the Bombers, that's when he started following them. But yeah, my dad's supported Essendon since he was a kid, so it was only natural that I was going to go for them.
Well, we're a Bombers podcast now. That's it, Bill, right?
Bombers.
That's it.
Yes.
Bombers all the way. Bears and Bombers. It goes hand in hand.
I love it.
I think there'll be games this weekend, so you'll have to try and tune in and watch one of them.
Who's their big rival? Is it the Swans? Is it the Roos? Who do you hate?
Hate Collingwood. Oh, with a passion. Black and white. The Magpies. The Collingwood Magpies. Which is
magpie
is a bird. You know what a magpie is?
No, I thought it was like a bad dessert that my grandma.
I thought it was a dessert as well. Yeah.
So the magpie is a magpie is like a bird that is native to Australia, and they're black and white. So yeah, just with the, and they in the spring, you don't want to be riding your bike when there's magpie mating season, because you'll get swooped, and there's a lot of bad injuries that come from the swooping of the magpies. So yeah, it's, you'll often see people riding their bikes down the street and waving their arm in the air, trying to scare the magpies away, and they're coming down and like just ripping into them. It's fantastic to watch, not great to be when you're the person getting swooped.
Yeah, why would you root for that? Why would you root for the Magpies as a team? They sound like terrible birds. Fuck the Magpies. We're out exactly. On that. We're Bombers exactly. Podcast. No. Fuck the Magpies.
Bombers. Bombers having a great season this year. Got some great young guns, so it's entertaining to watch. It's great to watch. Love the Bombers.
So when your team is doing well, does that mean that they're at the top of the table? Is that an expression, or am I getting my
correct
sports confused?
No, definitely top of the table. Yes. I think we're close to the top of the table.
Nice.
I'll have to check a bit later, but yeah, we're going very well. So I think we'll make finals and hopefully go on from there to win the grand final.
Is that your dream to obviously start at the University of Illinois? I assume get drafted by the Bears. That's everybody's dream, and then eventually make your way back to Australia and become the greatest Bomber that ever played.
I'm probably a bit past it for age-wise for that, I think. Typically, so in Australia, we don't have college football. There's no such thing. So after high school, if you don't get drafted at 18, it's very rare to see someone get drafted after that. So it's basically, it happens. There's definitely like late bloomers and people that sort of weren't fantastic at high school, or maybe didn't train as hard or didn't have the right connections or whatever, and then become very good players afterwards and get drafted. But it's definitely rare, and there's no college, so there's no football system where you get recruited by a college to go and study. You either study or go and play football, and then so there's one of the punters. He played for Richmond. He's a punter for USC. He played for Richmond, which is one of the AFL teams, for about 7 years. So he's my age. Oh no, he might be 20 a year older than me. But he decided to give it up because of head concussions, and I think decided that this was a better option for him because he can get an education and sort of start like. Allow himself to open more doors that way.
You guys seem to just beat you guys. I'm associating you as a Bomber now. You just beat the crap out of each other on the field, and there's no pads, right? There's no helmets. There's no nut. It's just like you kind of look like you're wearing like wrestling onesies too. Like, it's quite the look. The ladies must dig it big time.
Yeah, definitely love the Australian outfit in the football. I mean. It's sort of, that's just what they've grown up with, I suppose. So you get your football girls to sort of follow around guys and all that sort of stuff. Not me, though. That never happens, unfortunately. I missed out on that boat.
You did mention offline that you have a girlfriend who, she lives in Ohio. She's a Buckeyes fan. Is that accurate?
Yeah, correct. So she's becoming a Illinois fan now. Lives in Chicago, so... trying to convert her. We'll see how we go. I think she's going to try and come to the first game against Nebraska and tailgate with my friend's family, which I'm sure she'd love. Oh, that's one thing I'd love to do is have a tailgate. I might have to sneak out of the hotel a bit early, hang around the tailgate before the game, and then sneak on into the game and hopefully get a punt. Or hopefully not get a punt because we don't want a punt.
Only if you, yeah, exactly. Only if you, I think you can only go to the tailgate if you're in the full pads, helmet, and everything. That's it.
Ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just right from the tailgate directly onto the field. I think that's only fair.
I'll talk to Coach B and see what he can do. He can work out for me. Get a pass for the morning.
If you've seen any photos of Bielema online, you know he's very open to tailgating.
I saw that when he was getting recruited there. I kind of the ears pricked up a little bit, and I thought, oh, look out, here we go, here's trouble.
Yeah, I think he enjoys himself the occasional beer, so I think he found himself back to a great place at Illinois for sure. Well, that's awesome. How has the experience been so far? Has it been a big change between the Lovie Smith coaching staff and Bielema's staff? Is it kind of business as usual?
A bit business as usual. I think this is the first. When Coach Smith sort of left, it was a shock to the system, because I'd just been there for 6 months and started getting to know our coaching staff, and then all of a sudden there was a whole new coaching staff. I couldn't believe how the turnover was massive. But yeah, I find it fantastic. Like, I've gotten really close with a lot of the strength and conditioning staff and my coach, and really made a strong bond with them, and enjoying what they have to offer, and just learned so much about football since them coming here. And I think when I first got there, it was definitely a tough transition, and then having to have a whole new coaching staff has been awesome. I feel like I've been able to be myself a lot more, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. The mood at in the team is definitely a lot better. I think that's what the athletic director was hoping for.
That's awesome. And I saw you had a great spring game, right? You had got a lot of action. Had two punts inside the 20, right? Is that a big goal of yours to be the guy kicking in the coffin corner, right? That would be. That'd be pretty awesome. We want to see you out there this year. That's what we're saying, Hugh. We want to see you out there, so we can root for you.
I really want to be out there. I tell you what though, it's gonna be tough taking the spot of one of the best punters in the country, at the college level. But I really want to be out there. I'm working hard and hopefully we'll see what happens. But either way, I'm in a fairly good position as it is, so I'll be there supporting from the sideline, keeping the bench warm for all the guys when they come on the field if I'm not on there punting. So I'll be encouraging them all the time, so it'll be just as good either way. But yeah, can't wait to see myself on the field. And the spring game was good fun. I think the temperature dropped, like, from all the practices we'd had. It was a really, really cold night, which I'm sort of used to being here, because the snow was a huge wake up call in the winter here. I've never experienced that before, and then playing into late December or whatever it was also mid December last year. That was quite an extra. I've never played football when it's been that cold, and I can't even feel my hands. I'm trying to catch a ball. And so that was definitely something to get used to. But yeah, spring game was awesome. It was great to actually get on the field and have a few pretty much live punts, and not against any other team, obviously, but against our own team, but still at the pressure as it is.
When you're not in Champaign, do you have... have you met any families? Do you have, because I know when there's students who come from overseas, there's like adoptive families, right? Has that happened to you? Do you have an American family outside the football squad who's taking you in?
Yeah, definitely. Marie and Nick Lillig. Connor Lillig was a running back on the team he graduated this year. So, he finished football at the end of last year and called it quits. And then I went to his place over Christmas and had my first white Christmas. And they've been unbelievable. They've sort of taken me in and really made me feel like home when I couldn't really go back to Australia because of the COVID situation. And they were unbelievable, looked after me like I was their third son. And that was awesome to be part of. So I honestly can't thank them enough. They've been instrumental in helping me acclimatize to American life.
Feel free, Bill and I will also adopt you as well as your secondary American family if that one falls through. You're always welcome in our homes.
Oh, thanks, lads. I appreciate that. It means a lot.
We'll have a lot of Fosters for you.
No, I'm more of a Bushlight guy, to be honest.
Hugh, this has been great. We'd love to have you back as much as possible before you get super busy during the football season. And but even then, we'd love to check in with you too and meet you in real life and all that good stuff. So we really appreciate you coming on for the first iteration of Huey's Mayo and Eggs, man. Thank you.
Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, lads. I really appreciate being a part of it.
Absolutely, Hugh. You're always going to be welcome on Zero Doinks. Thanks, man. This has been Huey's Mayo and Eggs on Zero Doinks.
Hams and eggs. You'll be the first sober white man to say that, Bill.
I'll never forget that horse video, Bill.
What was the locker room shower situation like for the water polo team?
Pretty much how you would imagine it.
Well, it has been a long time since we have had a hams and eggs segment, but we have a few very special guests that you're about to meet who are representing an awesome food eating contest in the name of charity and debauchery. Debauchery? Debauchery? Hard to say. Not a big English language guy. But let's get right to it.
And
welcome back to Zero Doinks, America's favorite podcast about the Chicago Bears and all sorts of weird stuff. We are here today from our new friends representing the Hot 10, which is an upcoming food contest that is supporting a local charity. What's up, Sean? What's up, Kevin, Andrew? How are you guys today?
Good. Yeah, we sound legit when someone else introduces us. Great.
That's right. Yeah, we can just follow you around and introduce you to people this way with a microphone. So why don't you guys talk a little bit about the contest itself, first of all. It involves chicken wings, so that's near and dear to Dan in my heart. But yeah, go ahead and tell our audience what it's all about.
So we created this event 4 years ago. We had just gotten done watching a little bit of Hot Ones show. We sort of became big fans of that show on YouTube. Right off the bat, I decided I wanted to test some of the sauces out with some of my closer friends and cousins, and the invite list started going out, and I, you know, turned this group of five people that all of a sudden there was 50 people in my backyard. And so what we did is we created this event that plays an homage to Hot Ones, where we're doing the 10 wings that they have on their show, taking 10 of the sauces that they've used. And as we start with something nice like Cholula, something nice and easy, and then by the end we're hitting the bomb or the last dab, and it's kind of like burn your face off type of heat.
What have you guys all made it all the way through the 10 wings?
You're looking at the only one.
You're the only one.
Every year. Sean's got a great story his first year. There's one sauce which actually may make another appearance this year. So for everybody listening in, this is a nice little teaser. You know, some of these sauces are real tasty, guys. I mean, delicious, right? They're hot, but they're also yummy. There's a couple of them that are just straight gasoline. So our first year, you know, our rinky-dink operation, I'm on the microphone, Sean's mixing sauces and competing. So we pour Pain 100 all over about 50 chicken wings, and Sean is already gagging. He puts a chicken wing in his mouth and turns around, and let's just say everything that he had down made a quick exodus from his stomach. So it was fantastic, but he, I got to say, I'm real proud of him. Last year, he really stepped up, or 2 years ago. Stepped up and finished all the way through.
Sadly, I don't like spicy stuff, so I push through as well as I can. You know, I usually got a gallon of milk sitting right next to me. I'm chugging them. I think the last 2 years, I've, you know, pushed my way to wing number four, wing number five, and then I call it quits. Too much for me. Can't handle the heat.
Okay, so the question is, and I've asked this of Sean, but this is for the audience. Now, on Hot Ones, they eat like one little mouse bite for the hot sauce. That's not what you guys do, right? That's not allowed.
That is an excellent question. Yeah, so we decided that, you know, that's not really fair, right? You got to choke down that whole chicken wing. So we instituted a rule, and we got a whole, you know, some silly rules on the website and whatnot. You got to eat the entire wing. So, you know, in order to enforce that, you know, there's no better police than your neighbors and the crowd. So know, the rule is police yourself, but you got to clean that chicken bone just like your mama taught you. Definitely.
Good. It's got to be official. Your event is July 31st. That's a Saturday. It's going to be at Joe's Live in Rosemont. And you guys are supporting the Baby Spirit Foundation. So we'll talk about that in a minute. We'll talk about the charity, but where can our audience go? Where, you know, where can they go to register? How much is it? Can they show up without participating and potentially vomiting in a garbage can? Like what are the options for our audience, and what does their money go toward?
Absolutely. So we got two different options when people come visit our website to join us this year. First option is to be a competitor, and the price of the hot sauces, the competitors are going to pay a little bit more than the spectators. So the price of the competitor is $100 plus a little bit extra for the PayPal expenses. And then the spectators are $50 plus a little extra.
So with that, whether you're participating or spectating, you get a cool t-shirt, which this is a Zoom, so you guys get to see it. They're cool. Check out the website. They're cool. So you get a t-shirt. If you're competing, obviously you get some the glory and honor of running the gauntlet. Anyone that's there present is going to have access. We're going to do an open bar, get the beers rolling. So about a 3-hour open bar. And then we'll also put out a buffet via Joe's Live. So there'll be some food, definitely chicken wings, probably some other stuff. We'll keep the spice to a minimum for those that don't die a slow, painful death. But yeah, then of course, obviously proceeds from a portion of your ticket go to our charity of choice. The other nice thing is, besides watching the debacle of everybody competing, we're also going to be doing a lot of split the pots. Some amazing raffles are going to be going. You know, just as an example, Sean got a dinner for two at Fogo de Chao. So, you know, that's going to be a raffle prize, and just tons and tons of stuff. Within 3 or 4 days, we already got $1,000 worth of raffle prizes from businesses all over Rosemont, Niles, Edison Park, that's kind of our turf. So definitely bring some cash. There's an opportunity to win some stuff, but you'll definitely get a t-shirt and some entertainment in addition to going home full and probably a little tipsy.
Yeah, that's, you're talking my language. Wings and booze, that's definitely me. And a little gambling. That's also, I'm going to lose a lot of money on this. I have one question. Is there wagering amongst participants?
Yeah, I would say, Dan, debauchery, you know, it's like any Bears game, right? You know, it's highly, highly encouraged. You know, I don't know, we don't really regulate it, right? Because with our charity, we got to be on the up and up, but shenanigans amongst the crowd, you know, we welcome it. Cheering, yelling, you know, name calling, which it's all in.
Absolutely. I mean, especially when somebody's going to go ring that bell to declare that they're done with the competition. We encourage a lot of heckling from the spectators.
You've mentioned Sean has vomited. I think all of our mutual friend Grease Tank has also done it maybe more than once. Does that disqualify you? Are you out at that point?
Yeah, you got to keep everything down. When you start out, you got to clean that. You're allowed to drink. So, you know, if you're drinking beer or wine or whatever, wine and chicken wings sounds terrible. But no.
Terrible.
Yeah, you got to keep it down. You can't bring anything with you. So like some people brought like lemon juice or candle wax or whatever. You can't do that. You only...
wax.
Yeah,
sounds kinky.
Yeah, right? you can only use what we give you, and to stay in the competition, you have to keep everything down. If you decide you're done, if you throw up, if you spit up, if you can't finish the wing,
you don't keep up with the crowd.
Yeah, you got to keep up too. That's the other thing. You can't sit there and milk it. If you decide you're done, no problem. All you got to do is stand up in the middle of the entire room and ring a bell that we're going to provide so we can all boo you appropriately.
What are the rules on the back end? What if you cheat yourself? Does that disqualify you?
Well, it's not coming out. I mean,
so if you keep it in your pants, you're okay.
You know, so actually we were laughing about that. What if you got to run to the bathroom? You got to go evacuate, man. It's all you. You just got to be back for the next wing in time. We're not waiting for you in there.
I'm asking, by the way, for myself, because that if I participate, that's a very, I'm guessing like right in the middle around wing five, it could be a diarrhea town for me. So that, I've done worse stuff in front of a crowd of people, but I'm getting old now. I'm not sure anyone wants to see that.
Well, if it's any consolation, you can cancel your colonic. You know, this thing will just
right out. That's a good point. That is a good point. That's I'm sure I didn't see that part on the website, but maybe that's something that can be added prior to the competition. Is there a deadline for people to register to either participate or be in the crowd?
We're looking to get a decent head count within the next week or so. So it would be helpful for us to be able to get back to Joe's Live with a something of an average number, probably by the 14th or 17th of the month. But at the end of the day, we're more than welcome to have people walk in. Like I said, it would be helpful for us to have something of a head count.
All right. So for all those procrastinators out there like myself, make sure you register on the Hot 10's website and get rolling. So let's talk about the Baby Spirit Foundation. As I know you guys are doing this for fun, but also with a wonderful charity in mind. Can one of you guys tell us a little bit about that foundation?
Yeah, definitely. So this is a foundation started by a friend of ours. Sean went to high school with them, and then also family friends for me and my kids as well. It's the Cooney family, and they own and operate a chain of funeral homes. And you know, obviously, with you know, that line of work, you often see. You know, young kids, newborns, right? You encounter that a lot. And the Cooney family's been just unbelievably supportive for those families. And their son, Michael, who's now, you know, integral part of the family business, he saw this as a great opportunity. He partnered with one of his friends who's a therapist, and they formed this charity that, you know, not only are they going to pay for the expenses that go along with, you know, the costs of providing services to that family. But then there's also emotional support and therapy provided through Lindsay's business as well. So just an incredible group of people. You know, they're just so unbelievably, you know, selfless and just an amazing family. And then obviously this charity really speaks for itself. They've already made just massive impacts in the community here and helping families who, you know, are just in an unimaginable point in their lives. So not to have to worry about, you know, all these plans and details and have people that, you know, are just true professionals. And then most importantly, help work through, you know, again, what is just unbelievably haunting time. It's a great charity, great people, and we're thrilled that, you know, our silliness can help them with their mission here.
Can they also make a donation through your website if they can't make it? We have a lot of listeners who are out of state. Well, yeah. I know we'll be able to make it, but we implore them to definitely donate to what is a great charity.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so we have the Baby Spirit website on the Hot 10 website, so you can follow through, and then there's opportunities to donate. If you get a chance to, definitely follow Baby Spirit online. Michael and his family and friends and Lindsay are really good about putting together virtual. They had a big event back in March where there's all sorts of fun online raffles and games too. So. You know, Dan, coming back to all the gamblers in us, you know, it's great to donate and get a chance to win something, right?
I love it. I love it. Who's the favorite this year? Back to gambling. Who do I wager on?
Rick Loera.
Rick, okay.
So Rick was a champion the first year that we had it. And then the second year that we hosted it, Rick came up a little bit short. So one of those issues that when we were talking earlier, I had mentioned some people drink a little bit too much milk. And so I think Rick ran into that wall where there was a lot of milk coming out. And he was over in the bushes that year, and it looked like a scene from like The Exorcism, where it was just, you know, projectile.
This is going to be awesome. I mean, this is, if you don't want to participate, just being there for some of this stuff is going to be,
it's going to be
fantastic. It is going to be electric. It absolutely is. Yeah, you mentioned Dan, you mentioned our mutual friend Grease Tank that we have with Sean and these guys. And I don't know. I mean, I'd probably put him at like 50-1, you know, kind of like that middle of the road competitor. He could be a little sneaky. You know, I don't know if it's a good idea if he jumps into any milk, though. I feel like Frank with milk, probably not a good combo.
As long as it's not almond milk for Frank. But Frank, I think has made it to about 7 the last 2 years. So I'm hoping he makes a little bit further, at least tries to bomb this year.
Yeah, is that are you going to release what sauces you're going to have this year? Or is it going to be a surprise?
Well, there's some sauces that we have that are constants that we have on our list. Some things are changing. Like Kevin alluded to earlier, we are bringing back Pain 100. And, you know, like I let slip a little bit ago, that we're bringing back the bomb as well. So we're going to leave the rest of them to be a bit of a surprise, but just be prepared for a lot of pain on those two.
So the way, not to get into too much detail here, but the way we pick sauces is they're on an ascending Scoville unit, right? Scoville is a unit of measurement for heat and coppers. The last three, Sean and I were finalizing the list last night. Just, woof, wow, that last one, holy cow. So folks, you know, get ready, bring your tongues. It accelerates pretty quickly.
Or a diaper. In my case, just bring a diaper as well, just to be safe.
Judgment-free zone.
That's right. Yeah, hopefully Dan shows up in nothing but a diaper. I think that would up the attendance big time. Well, guys, this has been awesome. Where can people find out more information about this online? Where should we direct our loyal Zero Doinks listeners?
Our website is thehot10.com. 10 is spelled out T-E-N.
I'm glad you spelled it, because our audience, you know, not a lot of readers, I'm guessing.
Well, no one grease tank. I mean, some things get a little difficult for guys like him.
That's right. Thehot10.com. Everybody go there. You can register. You can participate. You can be in the crowd. And most of the money, I should say, goes toward the Baby Spirit Foundation, a wonderful charity that you guys are kind enough to include. That is awesome. We're very excited to be there ourselves. We're still, you know, knocking around, participating or not. We'll see what happens there, but we're definitely going to be there. What do you think, Kevin?
Come on, Bill. Come on. You're coming. You're going to show up. You're going to be there. You know, it's for a good cause, man. It's for a good cause. Get up in front. Let's go. Bring your diaper.
Bring a diaper. I'll borrow one to dance. That'll be fantastic. Well, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Andrew. This has been awesome. This has been Zero Doinks. Support the Hot 10 and the Baby Spirit Foundation on July 31st at Joe's Live Rosemont. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Go Bears.
Hey, guys. It's season 3. Have you ever wanted to follow us? Do it at Zero Doinks. Twitter at Zero Doinks. Instagram at Zero Doinks. Slip into our DMs. Wet, wild. If the hams are a slapping, don't come a slapping. If the hams are a slapping, don't come a slapping. At Zero Doinks. Follow us.
Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread.
Zero Doinks!
Yes, yes.
Zero Doinks!
Yes. Come on. Go!
Zero Doinks!
Push the ball. Push the ball.
Hams and bread.
Go!
Sausage!
Yes. Go! Kick it in!
Hams and bread.
Let's go!
For the most part, Dan, what do you think? Should we just kick it right to Rick?
Give it to me, Rick. Raw.
Hi, this is Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads.
Our buddy Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman. Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Ricky Fieldsman.
Hams and Spreads, featuring me, Rick Fieldsman. All right, Doinkers, we are back and better than ever. This is Rick Fieldsman coming to you live from my office. slash back seat. It is a Monday evening, which means the IPAs were slapping today. Oh my gosh, but that doesn't stop me from giving you the hottest picks. For the uninitiated, this is Hams and Spreads, the segment within Hams and Bread, the segment of Zero Doinks that is the most talked about at the water cooler across this great nation of ours. We have the hottest gambling segments on the internet. It's just the hottest thing in the whole world. If this is your first time here, you got to rethink your life. And what have you been doing up to this point to get the hottest picks? Because I'm giving them to you. Rick Fieldsman is giving you the sauce on the Zero Doinks chicken nugget, okay? And I'm just feeding you constantly, the hottest picks that is eventually going to give you diarrhea, but will also fund your bank account. And that's what we are here for. So let's go ahead and let's get started with some of the hottest picks. Let me make sure that I did screen cap them. Here we go. Hams and Spreads, pick one. Oh, right. We are starting off strong with a little bit of the odds boost for all you DraftKings players. Here's what we have. The Open Championship of Golf is on July 14th. It's later this week. The bet is any golfer to record an eagle on hole number one, in round number one. A little complicated for Rick Fieldsman on a Monday late afternoon, but it's an odds boost. Normally plus 400, we're going to plus 450. Oh, I love this bet. I'll be honest, when I read it at first, I thought it was an eagle at any point during round one, but it's only on hole one. I still love the bet. It was easy monies then, and it's easy monies now. We're going plus 450, eagle on hole one. Some say it's the easiest hole on that course, and everyone's going to be loose by the time they tee off hole one. Plus 450, the hottest picks, making monies on a Thursday, maybe a Wednesday, definitely a Wednesday. Oh, that is a hot bet. I love it. Okay, here we go to the next pick. Hams and Spreads, pick two. All right, we are going to the next one. We are going to MMA Saturday at 11 a.m. We have Francisco Figueroa versus Malcolm Gordon. Francisco Figueroa is minus 290. Malcolm Gordon plus 230. We're going Malcolm Gordon, plus 230, we are going the hottest pick. Malcolm Gordon, I'm going all dogs this week. I'm going all dogs, plus 230, we're going Malcolm Gordon. He is a classic MMA fighter. He's going to whoop on Francisco, and it's going to be the hottest thing ever. Oh my gosh, here we go. We're going to the final pick. Pick three.
Hams and Spreads, pick three. Printing Money's pick of the week.
Printing Money's pick of the week is brought to you by parlays. If you thought you liked betting parlays, just ask my good friends Wheatus. 'Cause I just like betting parlays, baby. Don't give me no even monies, baby. I'm trying to triple my monies, baby, tonight. Ooh. Oh yeah, parlays. Oh, now all my money is missing. Oh yeah, parlays. Oh, now all my money is missing. Parlays. Come get you some. Oh, the sponsorship was back in a big way. Big congrats to my friend Rick Fieldsman, who happens to be me, for getting sponsored this week. Anywho, we are going to the last pick, boxing. We have the hottest matchup, Jermell Charlo versus Brian Carlos Castano. Oh, Brian Carlos Castano is plus 190 versus Jermell Charlo.
here's what happened to me this weekend. Okay. Well, let me break it down for you. I had a couple people over to my house / tow truck. And I may have gotten the McGregor fight. Don't know if I paid for it legally or not. I had so much money on McGregor. I always bet McGregor. He always lets me down. I had so much money on McGregor. And when I saw his leg snap, it was just defeat rolling over me. But that's okay. Because you know why? I had the hottest bet on Sunday too. Euro Cup 2020, even though it's 2021. I had England over Italy. England to win on penalty kicks, plus 1,200. I don't even want to tell you how much money I could have won with this one. Oh my gosh. And then what do? They sub in two guys who haven't played the whole game, who have no stake in the game. They haven't kicked a ball in 120 minutes. They expect these guys to make it. Oh, and then no, let's bring on this teenager to kick the last one. Give me a break. I don't know what this England coach's name is. I don't want to know what his name is because he's not going to be living in England much longer. That was a disaster for my account, a disaster for England, a disaster for Europe, and frankly, a disaster for England. Let's get down to brass tacks here. Brian Carlos Castano, plus 190. You put your funds on there. Triple play, baby. Here we go. Oh my gosh. Give me some football. I am so sick of betting the NBA. I am so sick of everything else. MLB, I just lost a bunch of money on the home run derby. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Bet the Suns. Doesn't matter. They lost game three. All that matters are these three picks. The hottest picks. There we have it. I want to send it back to the Doinks boys. And as always, I have a good one at the windows. Crazy, but it's
one, Rick. And this has been the world's greatest and first segment within a segment, Hams and Spreads with Rick Fieldsman.
Rick Fieldsman.
Wow. Well, thanks, Rick. I don't think I have anything else to add. How about you, Dan?
Absolutely not. That's good enough.
See you next segment.
Bye-bye.
Here we go. Hams, Hams, Hams and Ted. 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 Baseball talk. Here we go. Hams and Ted.
Here we go, Hams and Ted. It's becoming my least favorite segment because my baseball team is fucking trash. Let me just go quick through the Cubs. Fuck you guys, you're trash. They lost 11 straight. I think 12 of their last 13 to go into the All-Star break, something like that. I don't know. Look it up. I'm not a research guy. I was supposed to go to the game yesterday, Sunday, as we're recording. and it was rained out, so you couldn't even get that right, Cubs. So fuck you for having rain on the 584th day that I had not seen live sports. Not that I was counting. Fuck you guys. Blow the team up, please, as quickly as possible. Get rid of everyone. Fuck you guys. How are the Sox doing, Bill?
Well, they're doing all right, but what who's the Cubs all-star in Tuesday night's all-star game?
Two of them. Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrell. Kimbrell. Kind of a tongue twister. Give it a shot.
It is. Craig Kimbrell. I had to really think about that.
You want to say Kimbrell, right?
Yeah,
Craig,
definitely.
Kimbrell, yes, those two guys.
Kris Kringle, I love that guy. Fantastic.
Good guy.
Yeah. Are there any Cubs that you consider off the market? I don't know if that's the right phrase, but anybody you would not want to see them trade, or is everybody on the table for you as a Cubs fan?
I don't care. Literally, no, I don't care. I guess Contreras, maybe? I don't know. I feel like he seems to be the only one that gives a shit, so maybe Contreras, you keep him around, but otherwise, I don't give a fuck. Blow the whole thing up. Just everyone they just drafted, like, yesterday, today, whatever it was, just bring them all up now. No minors, just bring them up.
Speaking of the White Sox, First place up by 8 games. That is their second largest lead at the All-Star break in franchise history. That's wonderful. Congratulations. The truth of this team, though, you hit it on Twitter today. They beat the shit out of teams that are really bad, and they don't play that great against teams that are 500 or above. That is true. That is something that has been very noticeable. Not that it really matters, just get in the fucking playoffs and see what happens, but it doesn't make me feel amazing. But let's not bury the lead. Eloy is back. He is in the minors. He hit a homer in his first game. Mark in North Carolina was there to see it. Thank you, Mark, for all of your updates. You drove back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you finally saw your boy Eloy. Thank you so much. So that's great. Louis Robert is also going to report, I think, relatively soon. So he'll be back before the end of the year. So the injured guys are coming back, which means the whole pitching staff's going to get hurt in the second half of the year because Tony La Russa is the manager, and he is a drunk, and he is an asshole. And he also may get manager of the year in the American League, which would be very weird and hilarious because I think he won it in 1983 for the White Sox. So that's it from the south side of Chicago. Back to you, Dan.
All-Star game, do you care? Are you going to watch it?
I'll watch it. There's 4 White Sox. Yeah, I'm a big keep an eye on the All-Star game guy. I've always enjoyed it. Hump the under, though, I think is the point, right?
Yeah. Under. Yeah, we probably should have thrown that in the hams and bread portion. Maybe Rick covered it. I don't know. Because I don't listen to it beforehand, and I don't think you did tonight either. So if Rick said that, do it. If he didn't say it, do it anyway. But yeah, good for your Sox. Cubs, blow it up. Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? This has been Hams and Ted. See you next segment, which is the last segment. Zerdox.
Penis.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's wrap this motherfucker up. I am way off base tonight. Sorry, Bill. Sorry, Zero Doinks listeners. I am fucking everything up. Let's wrap this bitch up. Bill, I got something. Do you have, but I want you to go first. What do you got? Go.
I'm not sure what the score is of the USA Australia exhibition game before the Olympics, but I do want to say that I love Hugh, and I appreciate Hugh being part of our lives here and part of our listeners' lives on Zero Doinks. I also love our new friends from the Hot 10. Shout out to them. July 31st, that is going to be the event of the year. Dan and I can't wait to be there. It's going to be red hot in every which way. So thank those guys also for joining us this episode. Dan, you said you had something, and I can't wait to hear it. What you got, buddy?
All right. I have a confession to make, Bill. I might be a soccer guy now. I might be into soccer. I've totally, like, overdid the UEFA Cup to the point where I watched the entire Italy-England game on Sunday with literally not a penny on the game. Not even wagering on it. I watched out of general interest, and I'm a little worried that I might be a soccer guy now after I've shit on it for so long. My theory that I could still play in a game and it won't make an impact still stands, but I actually enjoyed watching that game. Is that okay?
It is okay. I love watching talented people do amazing things. That is why I have subscribed to Cinemax all of these years. General interest. Didn't you serve under him in Vietnam?
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to talk about it because he was a diddling and a fiddling.
No, it's the UEFA. It was that was amazing. That was some high quality soccer. That's for sure, to say the least. I can see it. Now, the next step, though, are you going to adopt a professional team? I know you were with brother Dave recently at a wedding. He's a huge soccer guy. Did you guys talk about it? Did he try to talk you into Newcastle? I think he's a big Newcastle guy. Am I hitting all the right notes?
You are hitting all, yeah, and that's actually a big part of why I think I'm turning into a soccer guy, because brother Dave and I were very intoxicated at a wedding, 4th of July weekend in Lake Geneva. Thank you to the couple that got married on that very busy weekend. I appreciate it. but brother Dave, he was drunk, and I asked him about soccer and how he picked Newcastle. He didn't stop talking for about 10 minutes. I mean, he gave me the full rundown to the point where I was like, I might be a Newcastle guy now. I don't know what any of this means, but I might be a Newcastle guy. No, I don't know how to do that. How do you pick? I don't know how to pick a team. And I was trying to ask Dave how he did, and it was like some of it was in English, some of it wasn't. There was like a video game aspect to it. There was a player. I didn't know any of it. So I don't know. I feel like I need to adopt a team, but I also am not confident myself that I can commit to like waking up at like 5 in the morning on Saturdays to like watch. Or if it's not on like NBC or whatever they play on, I'm not going to go hunting. I'm not going to go hunt for it. So, I don't know. What do you think? Should I adopt a team? Like, do I get real obscure with it and I adopt like a team that's like basically the AAA or whatever? See, I don't even know the lingo. The ones that are like been relegated like two or three times over. Do I just pick some shit kicking soccer team where it's like a guy who works as a bouncer at a bar is also the goalie of the team?
Oh, so. So I think maybe this will help, Dan. I think, you know, in a past episode when we met Grease Tank Frank, we became huge Ferris fans, right? And yep. We hate Grand Valley. Earlier today in this episode, we became huge Bombers fans.
Big time.
And we hate the Magpies, like with every inch of our soul. I am willing to commit with you, Dan, on behalf of Zero Doinks, where this is a safe haven for Newcastle, because brother Dave's a Newcastle fan. I think we jump on the Newcastle bandwagon, and I'll be right there with you, lockstep, arm in arm. What do you say?
Done. I'm fucking in. I'm a Newcastle guy. What do they have? Do they have a mascot?
Don't know. We need to find that out. Right. I don't know what their colors are. I assume they're. And then the Premier League, I assume it's England.
Yep. Is Newcastle a town?
I think so. At the very least, it's got to be like an area, right? Like a county. Is that where the beer comes from? Is that Newcastle beer?
I have no idea, Bill. I have no idea. But yeah, we're Newcastle guys now. I'm fine with that. Newcastle,
I've never
guys.
Felt more alive. I've never felt. I smell a new segment.
Bingo. In Newcastle, guys, who's their rival? Do we know that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm
going
to guess. I'm going to guess FC Schalke 04 from the Bundesliga. Doesn't make any sense. No, I don't know. Who would the Liverpool? I feel like they hate Liverpool, right? It's got to be Liverpool. Fuck Liverpool.
Does everyone hate Liverpool? Who's Arsenal? I don't know. I don't have a fucking clue. Tottenham Hotspurs. That's a thing, right?
That is a thing. All right. I feel great. I'm going to go on DH Gate later tonight and order me a Newcastle jersey and see.
Should
where
we
it
learn
goes.
Should we learn the roster first? Like, or is that a soccer thing where you just order a jersey, a kit? What do they call it? A kit or something weird like that? You just order with no player on it? I feel like that's a thing.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, you don't have to make a commitment, or you can customize it, you know, and I'm sure you've always wanted, I know you've always wanted to be on the pitch. We've talked about it since season one of Zero Doinks, where are we going to hide Dan Doinks on a soccer field? So this would be a perfect opportunity for me to actually get a Dan Doinks soccer jersey just to honor you.
Perfect. I'm in. I'm fucking in. Go Newcastle. Castles. I'm sure they're the Castles. Fuck you, Shaka Smart 04. What was it?
Yeah, they definitely don't know anything about FC Schalke, I'm sure. So no, we'll find out. We'll dig
okay.
deep.
Okay.
Somebody slide into our DMs so we don't have to do the research though. Somebody tell us
please.
Who we hate as Newcastle fans.
Please, I'm sitting in a garage. I don't have time to look this stuff up. But back to the Sunday's game. It was pretty awesome to see England lose. Like I didn't really care either way, but it was kind of awesome to see a stadium full of people just sad. I could say, like, I can confidently say that as an American, right? Like, we still got some beef with them, don't we?
We do, except for Mike in England. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's great. Sorry, Mike.
Sorry you lost, but I'm glad that you finally, for the first time in your life, went to Bill and Chill. Thank you for those photos that you sent. you know, fantastic. So I'm glad you ventured out of the home.
I do feel bad for Mike now that I said that out loud. That was kind of rude of me. I'm sorry, Mike. Because I do we have any listeners in Italy? I feel like we don't. Not yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah. They're too busy eating spaghetti.
Yeah, I think Luigi Pepperoni, I think, is the one listener. I'm pretty sure. Is that racist? Are we going to be canceled?
Yep. Just you. Yeah, sorry, Mike. I always assumed that England was just good at soccer. They haven't won like an actual title since like 1966. How's that possible? Wasn't soccer invented there?
This is venturing a little too close to home as a Bears fan, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I thought they were like the original team. They haven't won since 85.
That's kind of true though, but It'd be like if USA basketball was just like, oh, they haven't won anything in like 100 years. Nope, we're fucking awesome at Olympic basketball. We're amazing. The only time is we suck is when we send like our B team. I don't know. It just struck me as weird.
Although, did you miss the fact that USA lost to Nigeria? I know it was an exhibition game.
Exhibition. We're fine.
Yeah, we don't count it.
We're
okay,
fine.
That's fine.
No, we don't.
That's
we're
fine.
Absolutely not. It literally does not count. It's exhibition, Bill. So
good point. Good
yeah.
Point.
That does not count.
No.
Yeah, I just found that interesting. So sorry, Mike, but I got a little bit of a chuckle out of the loss.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just how you felt at the time and still feel 24 hours later. It's okay. Nobody can deny you your feelings, Dan.
Thank you so much. What else is going on? What do you got coming up? Anything red hot in the Bill Doinks household?
You know, we're going to a lake house at the end of the month, but you may hear from us, ladies and gentlemen, before then. I know you're going to Austin, Texas this week, aren't you? Yes. Have you ever been to Austin?
I have for a bachelor party, but this week we're going for Jordan Doinks' birthday, so it might be a different experience this time around. Have you been to Austin?
No, I'm going in the fall though for an event. It's going to be red hot.
Oh, look at you! Oh, we got an event in Austin. Oh, it's a sex toy conference. Oh, look at me! I'm Bill. Blah, 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 blah. No, I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun.
Are you going to be on the lake at any point? I think there's a lake there, right?
Yeah, Lake Travis. Maybe. Jordan doesn't know what's going on. I don't think she listens to the Zero Doinks very much, but just in case, I'm not spilling the beans.
There's supposed to be like a lot of bats somewhere. That's what I've learned, but you know, I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what bats do. They just fly around, but apparently there's like a time in the evening where they just like leave. They go somewhere else, and then they come back. I don't know. I don't know what bats do. Do you know what bats do? They just eat, don't they eat bugs?
They make contact with some rawhide if you're the White Sox lineup, that's what you do.
Oh, that was an absolute stretch.
It's true. And it's not even true this year. Like, the Sox have like 12 homers.
Come on, stop it.
Yeah, all right. This has been a joy, Dan. This has been a joy. Thank you also to, I don't want to forget, Coach Cuse and Rick Fieldsman for the fresh song that you played with me. That led off the show, and it was fantastic. So just another can't miss hit that, I'm sure half the audience fast forwarded because they wanted some Hot Bears talk. But if you missed it, go back. It's tremendous.
Yes. Thank you guys. Rick's a great musician for a guy with no thumbs. I just want to say that. And a great person. Thank you for Hams and Spreads. Thank you, Hugh. Thank you, Hugh. That's hard to say. Craig Kimbrell. Thank you, Hugh. Nailed it. And thank you to the Hot 10 guys. Come on out to that event. I may or may not get involved with eating wings. If it were happening today, I would not be eating hot wings because my face would just melt off. But end of the month, maybe.
That's right. That's right. It's going to be awesome. We'll be there no matter what. It's going to be fantastic. Go to thehot10.com and register. That'll be great. Thank you, Dan. This has been lovely. I hope you feel better. I hope you find your way out of the garage. And I wish you a safe trip to Austin, Texas, you Newcastle fan.
Thank you, you sexy Newcastle son of a bitch. I love you, Bill. This has been fun. You're the man.
I love you, too. Go Bombers. Zero dogs. Go Bears.
Go Bombers. Fuck you, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. dressed up like a clown for them, with his face painted white and red. Or is it just a white woman, a white woman's Instagram? White woman, a white woman's Instagram. Instagram. White woman, a white woman's Instagram.